It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. C-Notes coming up in 20 minutes. We'll get you set up on all the Cowboys news of the day. Time now for Zach Wolchuk's NFL News of the Day. Here's Zachary.
Good news for concussions this year in the NFL. Jonathan Jones reporting 2024 saw the fewest number of concussions on record in the NFL. According to NFL EVP Jeff Miller, a 17% decrease year over year compared to last year. So the guardian caps are here to stay. They're gonna make sure that those are still able to be worn.
Maybe some kickoff stuff too. Yes, kickoff rules.
The kickoff rules, there was a big good amount of success.
Don't tell that to Austin Eckler.
Well, yeah, no, that's good.
Some of that stuff's unavoidable.
No,
right?
Of course. I'm just making a joke. But
no, that's the kickoff rules. He got crushed.
He got smashed.
He did. He sure did. And he did have a concussion on the play.
Several games.
He was out for five.
It was like a solid month. Yeah. NFL says the dynamic kickoff rule change produced 57% increase in returns this year, which is what they were wanting to do. So not only did you technically did get a decrease rate in concussions, you also had an increase rate in kick returns.
Have you seen the Guardian Cap 2.0s? They've stepped up.
Yeah,
they
look much better.
In the aesthetic.
They do.
It looks much better, more form fitting. I think the naked eye would be less. It's less apparent
obvious
that it's there.
Yeah,
you know, like some of these guys, you can see they're not even on completely.
It's like
right.
Sliding
it's
off
like,
a little
yeah,
bit.
It's
tilted.
Like there's some slippage going on. So, but that was just the first version. The 2.0s look sleek.
I thought I noticed some that I was like, oh, that's a Guardian cap.
Yeah, you could tell.
Maybe it's just one guy.
Yeah, I think
Are they playing with him yet? Yeah,
I haven't seen anybody playing with him yet. I've only seen
the
prototypes.
The
2.0s.
But they are playing with the Guardian caps. Yeah, like you had Jonathan Taylor, the Colts would be wearing him. DeMar Hamlin would be wearing one. Okay. I'm not sure if there's anybody specifically on the Eagles or the Chiefs that you can see in the Super Bowl just off the top of my head. But yeah, several players were wearing them out there that you could see. The big news today in the NFL, and this kind of broke like an hour before we got on the air, is Justin Tucker, now being called Justin Tugger. Six massage therapists have come forward with allegations of sexual misconduct. Two spas permanently banning him, as we've got a full article on the Baltimore Banner right now. Benjamin Albright, well-respected reporter who is based out of Denver, actually shared some DMs he got that somebody said, you might want to check around with Baltimore sources about some sort of article coming out about Justin Tucker. He said, thanks, I'll look into it. Then a day later replied, yeah, there's a lot of truth to this. And he has said in regards to Justin Tucker saying, this is absolutely false. He has released a statement, but Albright said, I got tipped off to this earlier this week, was looking into it. It looks like a lot of the information he corroborates ended up being very real. And now the Ravens are probably going to have to look into making a statement here. But Tucker's denying it all. But I mean, some of the stuff in the article seems pretty damning.
Assuming that he knew this was going to come out over the last couple of months, I think that makes rub and tug scandals two for two here in ending great careers.
Yeah, for sure. Like if he knew this was sort of looming here a little bit, that could certainly affect your performance. That would make plenty of sense. You saw how it's broken Deshaun Watson completely. But yeah, this is, I mean, there's tweets going back to like 2021 of just random accounts. Young MC saying, Justin Tucker is canceled, but it's not my place to provide the reason. Let's just say he's been told by many massage places to never come back. That was in November of 2021. Just a random tweet.
He must not have been going to the places with the darked out windows. You know, there's a couple of different kind of massage spots out there, right? There's the massage, and then there's the house of prostitution doubling as a massage spot, right? That's what's going on.
Yeah.
I think Robert Kraft knew which one to go to. The one he went to just happened to be, you know, dabbling in human trafficking and got itself on the Fed's radar.
Yeah, this it's just weird for, you know, like Justin Tucker's coming out and denying it all, but it's like, man, I just can't really envision somebody's out to get the kicker.
No.
Like
this is a must.
There's just complete conspiracy. We're going after the Ravens kicker here, and we're just going to try and make a whole scandal that is totally based on false allegations that he's involved with multiple masseuse parlors. Multiple masseuse people are saying, yeah, he did this, did that. He's been kicked out of a bunch. It's like, dude, I can't really buy what you're selling here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, for Robert, he was at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa. Oh,
that's right.
That's where Robert was. But this
nifty
dude.
Name.
Yeah, this dude is, I guess it's multiple different places. So he was probably trying to you know, square peg, round hole. Like he wasn't going to the yeah. proper. He was trying yeah. to force something that
he
wasn't.
Had finer tastes.
Yeah. You know? Sure.
Maybe that was his kink. Sure. I don't know. Yeah. Bizarre.
I think
the
it
details
is
are pretty bad.
It's probably a must-lie situation just because the humiliation and shame, right? And people are going to believe what they want. He's got a son. I'm sure he's got, you know, a family. They're all very disappointed in him, you know, and his lawyer is saying, let's go full denial and see where this takes us.
Mm. Yeah. Listen to Liam Cohen. Honesty is the best policy.
Was that his?
That's what he said.
That's what Liam Cohen said?
I don't think he was fully honest when he was leaving Tampa yeah, Bay. No, so the guy's a little bit of a hypocrite.
He left him in the dark a little bit.
So CBS Sports came out with one free agent each team should prioritize signing this offseason. And it was a good conversation because we were talking about defensive tackles yesterday with the Cowboys. And they've got a defensive tackle on here, B.J. Hill of the Cincinnati Bengals, who was originally drafted in the division by the Giants.
Seamless transition from Justin Tucker to B.J. Hill.
Yeah, to B.J. Hill, absolutely.
I will say, the Justin Tucker jokes writing themselves.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
I mean, that was, you can't concoct that. That's just.
No, it ended up being too perfect.
That is unbelievable.
Maybe this thing was all staged. I don't know. Cowboys could be looking at some changes on the D-line. Lawrence, Golston, Osa among free agents. You could get B.J. Hill, veteran. He had 16 sacks, 225 combined tackles, 53 hits over four seasons in Cincinnati. And according to Over the Cap, when you look at what he was making, it was 3 years, $10 million a year. He was hitting that. Like, he was worth the money that he was being paid. Now, when you look at his age, he's kind of pushing 30. He's 29 and with 30 next season. He's not expected to get top of the market, so maybe he's more affordable than Osa Digizua, although Jory Epstein did report that that's the Cowboys' number one priority right now, would be re-signing Osa. But if they're not able to, maybe a more cap-friendly addition could be B.J. Hill, who certainly has been very productive in Cincy.
Looks like he can play both tackle positions. Good run stuffer, yeah. You know, based on the scouting report I've seen. I would say get Osa back, get Hill, and get Tank back, you know. And now you could seriously talk about, hey, maybe our defense with the right draft once we get Overshown and Diggs back could be really good, you know. That's if you want to compete next year. And it's possible, you know. Go ahead and make this happen if you think that you're close to competing. Mm-hmm. I think those are the kind of moves. So I think rubber hits the road, around March 10th, start a free agency around there.
Yeah.
We'll know by March 20th if this Cowboys team can get back in the mix next year.
No doubt.
I do. If priority number one being Osa, I think there's a better priority number one out there.
Okay, we'll get to that. What, in the finest?
Finest.
All right, we'll talk about that then. 817, hilarious to listen to how this Tucker BS is going to get spun and slid under the massage table like a hot towel.
It's Tugger,
Watson,
by the way,
is still being treated as scum. I don't think that people aren't going to be treating Justin Tucker the same way. We were talking about how this is probably two NFL careers that have ended here. We're not trying to toss it under the massage table like a hot towel here, 817, okay? Patrick Graham, he's going to remain as the Raiders defensive coordinator under Pete Carroll's staff. And we also had Mark Davis, who after the Pete Carroll press conference, well, he was asked a little bit about what's been going on since John Gruden. Here is what Mark Davis, the bowl cut man himself, had to say.
Bringing in Tom Brady was bringing in somebody that was on the football side that I had been lacking having here at the organization. Back in, I guess it was 18, with John Gruden, he was somebody that I brought in and really expected to be that person on the football side that would bring stability to the organization. He had a 10-year contract and all that, and his head was chopped off. And we were put in a really bad position as an organization.
Mm. Yeah, head chopped off after the 2021 emails. I mean, that's a
poor John Gruden, victimized just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Off with his head.
Well, and the problem is, like, it wasn't since then, like, the organization's been bad. Like, the organization was really bad previously, too, Mark. I think that's a little bit of a compound on your part.
Yeah, it'd been bad for, 10 years or so before that, and you hired a guy out of the TV booth to come be your main football guy in the organization.
Not good. So
they really need Tom Brady to save them.
They do. And I guess that's really the hope for all of Raider Nation right now. I know Raider Joe's hoping that. He always hated Tom Brady. Now he's a big Tom Brady fan. All right, let's get to more juicy drama. As it's not a toxic Tuesday, but maybe a toxic Thursday. We're going to go to Lance Zierlein. All right. Now, Lance was on 97.5 ESPN in Houston. And he was discussing C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick's relationship. Now, he goes back to the combine. They're going to meet. Now, he got information that while at Ohio State, C.J. Stroud apparently did not respect his offensive coordinator, didn't think that he was intelligent enough. So he would only communicate with Ryan Day. And that was kind of a red flag. He's like, yeah, it's a little bit weird. You're only going to talk to your head coach. You're basically just not going to have a relation with your offensive coordinator. And then this led to the meeting between C.J. Stroud, the Texans, and Bobby Slowick.
He comes into Houston. Bobby Slowick is trying to tell him some stuff. And C.J. just says, oh, yeah, I know that we call this, you know, whatever, XY switch, whatever it would be at Ohio State. And apparently, maybe it happened a couple times, and Bobby Slowick just kind of jumped him and said, I don't give a what you call it, Ohio State. That's college. This is pro football. Hmm. And Bobby kind of got in his face about it, you know. And CJ's not one to back down at all. And CJ, and I don't know if Bobby was testing him or I don't know what the deal was, but CJ jumped up and got back in his face. And it was very contentious. It had to be kind of broken up. And so when CJ went to his next, he went to his next draft meeting, and I talked to the team where CJ went, because I asked his team, hey, do you hear anything about this with CJ Stroud? And they said, oh, we asked CJ how his last visit went, which was Houston. And he said, terrible, terrible. I don't think I'll be going there. And people who trained, like CJ's whole crew, did not want him to go to Houston. And they didn't think he was going to Houston because it was he and Bobby got into it. And then CJ was drafted by Houston, which that's one of the reasons I was really surprised. Like I kind of wrote, after finding that out, I wrote CJ off from the Texans. And I thought, okay, this is Will Anderson for sure. And so when they traded for him, I was very surprised because I knew there was that lingering stuff there. But then in discussing all of it last year, I heard it was squashed. Like there was no issue. Bobby and him were good.
Could lead to some of the reason why the offense in Houston kind of fell apart a little bit. It is fascinating that, like, even with a bad interaction, Texans were still like, all right, we're going to draft him. And he didn't want to go to Houston. Now that's turned out to be, you know, a success. But my gosh, Bobby.
So Slowick got in his face like that at the combine?
They got in each other's. Yeah.
Wow.
And created a very awkward tension. And I mean, kudos to the two of them. They were able to repair the relationship. It went really well their rookie season. This year, obviously, it fell off and he's no longer with the team. But very interesting.
You ever heard of anything like that, Brian?
All the time. What he was doing was he was testing the kid. He was seeing how much the kid could take. I've seen coaches like go and go, watch what I'm about to do to this kid. And you make it confrontational and you see how they react. Do they rise up and get in your face and challenge you right back? Or do they shell? You know, they go back in the shell and you can learn a lot about a kid. It's kind of a terrible way to operate. But I've known coaches that have done it. Like, listen, there's questions about this kid's toughness.
Yeah, let's see.
I'm about to answer that question.
So you want him to get up and get in the face.
You want him.
Well, for some of those scenarios, yeah, I would say.
You want him to challenge you back that, you know, so then you kind of can, when it happens, then you're like, okay, I did what I needed to do here. And so, yeah, there's, because sometimes scouts will say this in a meeting. He goes, well, he's not a very mentally tough kid.
Yeah.
And a coach hears that, he goes, okay, watch what I'm about to do here.
Let's test it.
And let's test it. Let's see how mentally tough and he wants to be. So yeah, this happens quite a bit.
At least he did it in a football way. You remember Jeff Ireland with Dez Bryant.
Oh, yeah, with Dez Bryant. I mean, that was not a football way of doing things. Not at all. No.
Jets have agreed to terms with Steve Wilks to become their defensive coordinator in New York. Of course, he was with the San Francisco 49ers, previously head coach of Arizona and Carolina. So he's going to be Aaron Glenn's DC in New York. And the Bears making another addition to their staff with Ben Johnson. They're going to hire ex-Jags offensive coordinator Press Taylor as the new passing game coordinator.
Man, that guy gets a lot of gigs for not doing very much.
He really does. Like Press Taylor, I don't think he's been successful anywhere he's gone.
Everywhere, everybody's talked about him as the young and upcoming guy, and like Doug Peterson had him. Uh-huh. I mean, it's always kind of been a bounce around guy, but everywhere he's been, he's kind of gotten fired for being a young guy. You know, so good luck.
Are you guys ready for put football guy of the day on the line?
Yes,
always.
Here we go. Patrick Mahomes has defeated every single NFL team in the regular season except for one. Who is the one team that he has never defeated, not including, of course, the team that he plays for in the Kansas City Chiefs?
I'm disgusted with myself. I know the answer to this.
Did you see it?
I did.
Okay. We're going to take you out of the running.
Is it Detroit Lions?
It's not the Detroit
Wrong.
Lions.
Wrong.
He's 1-1 against the Lions.
Is he 1-1?
Yeah.
I knew he got beat against them on opening day. That's what, and they he don't did. Play he's, that he's, often. He's, that's he's what I was going
to.
I think it's fair to give him a conference. Because that's a lot to ask.
It is in the AFC.
Oh, wow.
It's very surprising. It's not a team you would necessarily think of that's like super difficult to beat.
He's 0-2 versus this team, right?
0-2 in the regular season against this team.
And if you think hard enough, you can actually remember the surprise one from, I think, two seasons ago.
Just stunning defeat in the regular season. It really was.
Colts.
Big time upset. It is the Colts. Boom, boom, boom. Football guy of the day. The general.
Well, Chief had it.
Gavin Dawson. He saw the stat. Like, I saw the stat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, I mean, I wouldn't have known this either if I didn't see the stat.
No, I woke up this morning with that knowledge.
Yeah, it was pretty nuts. I'll get to another one a little bit later. Eric, you might have seen that one, too, from the same Twitter account. Matthew Stafford plans to play in 2025. However, the situation with the Rams still to be determined. Now, I do think he's going to stay there, and they're probably just going to restructure the deal. Sean McVay said that he wants this resolved sooner than later, so maybe he ends up taking a little bit of a cap hit, or they go ahead and maneuver some numbers to where his contract is a little bit less to stick around, but he was really good in the postseason for them. I mean, certainly Matthew Stafford's still playing at a pretty high level, and if they can continue to build that offensive line, they're going to be in a really good place to contend again there in L.A. with the Rams. And shout out to Posty. Post Malone will headline the NFL's tailgate concert ahead of the Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl at Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. So the tailgate will begin at 3 o'clock. We'll air on YouTube if you want to get some Posty action in before big kickoff.
Well, thank you, Woolchuck. It's time now for the C-Note, the Cowboys news of the evening. What Will McClay likes about working with the Cowboys so much, and more next in the Nation. Yeah, buddies, welcome back. It's the G-Back Nation here on the Fan. Time now for the C-Note, the Cowboys news of the evening. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, Will McClay on why he continues to not pursue leaving the Cowboys for a real GM job. Basically, getting the opportunity to pursue a championship, a Super Bowl, and work with these people is extremely important to me. I think it's good news. I think for Cowboys fans, might not remember how bad the talent got at times on the run post Jimmy Johnson to Will McClay, 15, 18 years somewhere in there. It was wheels off and unpredictable, and McClay has stabilized, improved the organization, and really the only bad years that you have are quarterback injury years. You know, there's no sustained losing. I think Will McClay gets a lot of credit for that. So I think it's a big dub to hear that. And, you know, maybe I imagine Will McClay continuing in a very important role with the Cowboys, not unlike a Gil Brandt or something like that, Brian, just a long type of deal.
I'd like to see Will have his own opportunity to hire his own coach and to pick his players and kind of navigate that. I think he would do a really fine job with that. If I was a fan of another team and I needed a general manager, Will McClay would be a guy I would surely look at. You're absolutely right, Gavin. The stability that he's brought, his ability to marry the Joneses with the scouts, with the coaches, is something that a lot of these, my old boss, Larry Lacewell, he was able to do it because he was friends with Jerry Jones. Hmm. You know, people knew that. Listen, you mess with Lace, you're probably messing with the Joneses. You're probably, Will seems to have that ability to kind of not put himself on with one group. Hmm. You know, he puts himself with, you feel like talking to Will that, like, he's for the coaches. He's for the scouts. You know, he's for the Joneses. You don't get the feeling that he's going to always side with the scouts.
Because it was often contentious before him.
Very, very contentious. You know, and Lace was a former coach. And so the coaches always felt like, that they were going to get their way here. Hmm. And then the scouts kind of resented that because, well, wait a minute, you run our side of the building here. Why are you siding with the coaches over here and stuff?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's Will has done a great job of just making sure that all parties involved, and they're really, as we know, they're really involved with consensus. They want that consensus. And to a point, it sometimes is a detriment, but other times it helps them with with how they get the, you know, get their players on board.
And to build on that idea, I think that's something important to note. If, you know, somebody might be disgruntled or discouraged by the job that their personnel department is doing because of their last two first round picks.
Yeah.
Will, it's not Will McClay's vision like it was, you know, or it could be for other, you know, pure GMs. So he's just gathering consensus. And I would love to see him have the opportunity to create the vision and be like a final say type of guy.
Yeah. We've talked about this before. He does. There's that clip of him standing up and basically being the tiebreaker of the of Mozzie Smith.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was Bergeron, the tackle guard from Illinois, or Mozzie Smith, and there was that discussion on the clock.
Man, I'd love to go back and see what this team could look like right now.
No, exactly. And but so there's times you're going to stand on that table and be absolutely wrong. And I think Will has eliminated a lot of that being wrong.
Well, I mean, he nailed Tyler Smith 3 years ago.
He sure did.
A pick that came out of nowhere.
Yep.
The Leafau and Overshown were good. Cooper Beebe is probably going to be good. Marshawn Nealon is going to be good. So it's not like a total waste of the last.
No, not at all. Not at all. And that's where I think that, you know, the Joneses really do appreciate the Will, that he's able to. He's able to smooth over all the rough spots that the Joneses might create.
And I don't even know where they would go for a replacement for him. You know, that's a very special set of skills, what you talked about, getting all these different departments involved and feel like they have ownership and importance without being alienated, plus a guy with his skill level of team building.
Yeah,
and the ability to have the relationship with Jerry is huge here. You just can't replace him.
No, they would probably go with on staff, like Mitch LaPointe or somebody like that would get an opportunity. If you remember when Lacewell left, you know, myself and Tom Soskowski were there, and Tom looked at me one day and goes, "You getting this job?" And I'm like, "No, you getting this job?" And he goes, "No." And then it was Jeff Ireland. Like, he'd backdoored us to get to Parcells, and that's how he got the job. Yeah. So they're going to likely hire people within it. It's not something that they went out and got Lionel Vitale, and I've known Lionel for a long time. He was an absolute disaster as a player personnel guy. And so, you know, when they and that was on a recommendation from Bill Belichick, you know, hey, Lionel Vitale, you know, come and bring him in. But that was and they haven't really gone outside that since.
Okay. Elsewhere here in the C note, and we go to ESPN's top 50. We've talked about this a couple of times. Got to it late last night. Wolchuk briefly mentioned it in NFL News Today. Osa at 10, Zach Martin at 21. Those are your two guys inside the top 50. I saw Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, reporting earlier today that multiple teams are expected to pursue Osa. You know, but reportedly a top priority for the Jones boys continues to be the word coming out of the Senior Bowl. You know, and as we hear it, he is headed for a big contract. Is he a good enough defensive tackle that you want to make a significant salary cap pie, you know, contribution to him? Maybe 7 or 8% of your pie could go to Osa if, you know, if the numbers are right, over $20 million per year. And it's exciting to me, you know, because instead of letting all these pieces go, if you're committed to bringing back Osa, you know, that is a huge draft piece you don't have to worry about. You could throw darts at a board for the next 8 years and not find a defensive tackle better than Osa.
Especially the one team that apparently is very interested in him is San Francisco. And if you go back and you watch the Cowboys games against the 49ers, it makes sense why San Francisco would be, because Osa played very well in those games. He was one of the Cowboys' better defenders in every meeting that they had with San Fran. So, yeah, I get it. I mean, I'm into re-signing Osa. It depends, obviously, what the money is. Is he ending up getting $12 million per year? I don't know. But I am for trying to fill out this roster without going into the draft. Like, gosh, I need to get basically every position. We were talking today, linebacker is the one they really need to address in free agency because this is not a draft that I think they're going to be able to get like a starting caliber linebacker unless they probably reach on it really high in the first or second round.
And you need a runner. You need a wide receiver. You probably need another offensive lineman. Like, I would love it if the first three picks you come off the board and all be on the offensive side of the ball because you did bring back Osa and Tank. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Lewis, you know, and I don't think that's an insane amount of money to expect to spend, especially for a draft and develop team. You know, after letting everybody go last year, you know, having that happen again, I think would be devastating and push you well out of the playoffs.
It's likely going to happen again. And maybe their thought.
So you're saying move the page from Osa? Not going to happen?
Oh, I think my gut feeling is that they're going to try and get it done. He might become out of their ballpark. He played that well where pro personnel guys and gals are going to watch that tape and a lot of teams around the league.
But Steven would know where the market is. You know, if you're saying that, or do you think that's just lip service to satisfy the fans?
Yeah, he knows the market. Pay the guy the highest price you could pay the position, and it's no longer I'm the highest guy. I'm taking care of the market.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, I think there's going to be another big bloodletting of talent off this team, and I do worry about them. And this is where Will's job is going to be even more important because they're going to have to hit on the draft, and they're going to have to hit in college free agency, which they spend money in. They give $250,000 bonus, you know, guaranteed a contract for. Span forward the tight end. They like to play that market because they see those guys on their board as draftable players, and so that's what they're going to try and do. And then they're going to have to try and replace all the guys that they're likely going to lose. This is just get ready for the second coming of the bloodletting, as I like to say.
Well, that would stink. I think you finish what the final eight games 5-3. You're playing a third place schedule. Yeah. You know, it suggests that if you catch some breaks, maybe you could be back in the playoffs. But if you're not going to bring back any of those guys, then I'll have seen everything.
Well, I'd like to, maybe something different here is that we've got on before for signing their own. Maybe this is the way of like, we're not going to sign our own and we're going to now go play in free agency. Maybe they're going to look at a Cincinnati Bengal player or a Tennessee Titan player or somebody like that. You know, it used to be Stephen Jones said it. He says, hey, we have to look at how we handle free agency.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not. Hey, they've been burned by signing their own.
And if you're going to do the $40 million that basically I'm talking about in free agency and in payroll, I could get behind that as well. You know, I think that would be a smart pivot instead of just taking your best players and re-signing them, look for the best players in free agency. Is Zach Martin going to retire? And did the line get better last year when he went out? Is that something you even want to be considering at this point?
Well, he was not healthy.
Got better because the person in his place could move.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, that helped.
That helped a lot. I mean, he was probably 60% of what we known from Zach Martin. And when he went out of the lineup, it was just a healthier body. And I think that helped BB. And I think it also helped the right tackle Steele. With a healthier guy in there.
It's interesting, Tank Lawrence not in the top 50 free agents. I mean, I could definitely understand a fall off. I wonder how opposing front offices look at that situation with Tank because if the market is that low and it's, you know, a single-digit amount of millions, you know, I think that would be a player that you would want back. He's still going to give you some pass rush. He's going to be tough against the run. I think, Tank's still a good physical defensive lineman. I would want him back. And I think Rico could be on the list as well. I mean, top 10 in yards per attempt among running backs with a shaky line and a passing game that was non-existent a lot of weeks. Like, I think Rico has value as well. I know he doesn't hit home runs, but, I mean, top 10 yards per attempt in that setting is pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You just can't get into the end zone. Like, the two touchdowns is still one that I'm just like, how did he just finish with two rushing touchdowns? That's insane.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you got it. He's a guy that he just did it on a very small number. Why can't you find another guy that's the exact same? Because Rico had value this year. Soon as you give him market value, 4 or 5, whatever,
He was
1.2 this year.
Yeah.
So if a guy who's getting 1.2 can do it, just find another 1.2 guy that can do it. Unless you're going to get a game breaker kind of dude or whatever. Yeah. But I would be looking to do something like that, especially for a guy who's got the injury history that he does. And he had a pretty nice, healthy year this year. But I think that's the perfect example of letting a guy walk out. I think Osa's in a similar spot. Because he's going to command big dollars, and I don't think he will be worth that. But I do think there is a defensive tackle that will be on the market that will be worth the money that they're earmarking potentially for Osa. There's somebody else better.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I would answer that by saying without knowing who they are going to draft, I would look back in the last 15 years, and it's been bad. Like, this front office hasn't been good. They had DeMarco Murray in the building. They didn't really turn him loose until year 4, you know, and then you have Zeke, who you overpaid. The Tony Pollard mismanagement. I don't have faith in their ability to go find another guy that can give you what Rico does. And if you go into next year with guys under 4 yards per attempt, You know, we can't make respectable third down yardages.
See, I would be making it a point in my front office to say this can't be, like, we got basically majority of the league that can go identify a low-cost running back that can be productive. And you actually just did do it with Rico. It took you some time. Part of it was because of the injuries. But they're out there. If you're a team that cannot, you're supposed to be a good drafting team and you can't identify a cheap running back to go be productive for you, you have a giant weakness in your front office that almost none other front office has.
And you don't have a fourth rouner this year. I think that one hurts quite a bit in this situation, because I do want running back, a wide receiver, and an offensive lineman in the first three rounds. And, you know, that would contribute to my decision there on Rico. Brandon Laurie pointing out to Tony Pauline report here on Cowboys Twitter. Cowboys may be taking a hard look at wide receiver early in the draft. Quote, I'm told the team will look for a receiver during the first two rounds to pair with CeeDee Lamb. We've talked about their options with Luther Burden and McMillan at Arizona and Igbuka at Ohio State. How are we looking at 44, Brian? Some plug-and-play type of guys there as well?
Yeah, and it's funny because we're getting ready up in Krusty's corner. Wolchuk and I did a mock draft on the draft show this morning, and I wanted to go through it and see what you guys thought about it. And we're going to address that wide receiver spot for sure.
All right, let's take that as a tease. The C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening, most every day at 3:20. And we're back with Krusty's Corner here in the G-Bag Nation. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan Time now for Krusty's Corner. Here's the king of the Krusty's, Brian Broaddus.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
This morning on the we had the draft show that Wolchuk and I were on with, also with Fox Lombardi. That was our crew. We had, matter of fact, it's a split draft day or draft shows today. We had the morning show and then we have an afternoon show. The guys from Mobile.
I think that's out now, actually.
Mobile, Alabama. So after our show today, and after you listen to all our programming on the station, give that a listen. Today we did a little mock draft. It was a three rounder. Wolchuk was engineering it for us. And some of the takeaways from the mock draft, and Zach, feel free to jump in anytime you want to jump in and talk about this. But it came down to, on the first, as it fell, it came down to where we had some considerations to have to make. One of the considerations was about the running back, Genty.
Mm-hmm.
One of the considerations we had to make was about the offensive tackle, Simmons.
You like him.
From Ohio State.
Injury question, and that's really it, right?
That's it. Or else he'd be the best tackle.
That's it.
Left tackle.
Yeah.
Certified.
Absolutely.
Yep, left tackle. And then it came down to considerations as well for Burden, the wide receiver from Missouri, and Abuka, the wide receiver from Ohio State. Mike Green was not in that consideration at the time. He'd went right before us.
Niners scooped him from us, man. I was bummed.
We lost our edge. We lost our edge that we really, really like.
Is this something that you guys simulate?
We simulated it.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll bounce back and forth like using different simulations. I kind of like PFNs because I can mess with the draft trades because I don't pay for the PFF one.
Okay.
So I used PFF to just save us time. I didn't want to do the trades.
I just need to give you my password and you can get that done.
That'd be kind of nice.
I'll do that for you. But we came down to a consideration and in much discussion about the 12th position. With all those guys I mentioned on the board, would you guys like to take a guess which way Zach, myself, and Votch went with the 12th overall pick with Genty, Simmons, Burden, Abuka on that board?
Knowing you guys the way I do, we got ourselves a running back, didn't we, Dawson?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure how Votch is going to vote on this. I respect the man's content. Don't know his intention here, but I know you guys would have outvoted him at least 2-1.
Wow. All three of us took Simmons.
You don't know us, Bleepholes.
What? You guys passed?
Suck it!
You guys passed on the runner?
We did. I'm
so proud of you guys.
We're going to take Simmons here, but I did think taking Genty might bite us in the butt if we passed on him.
Yeah. Now, this is my argument, and I'm on board with taking Simmons. Votch made a great point about, hey, Dr. Cooper taps you on the shoulder, gives you the thumbs up, Kid's good to go.
And what's his questions? It's a knee?
It's a knee. He hurt his knee.
Yeah, second quarter against Oregon. Yeah. And they haven't really told us what the issue was. Like, yeah. I've just seen knee injury.
Yeah.
And he was out the rest of the season because
the rest of the season. He was done. And they had to kick the guard Jackson out from left guard.
He did an incredible job. Donovan Jackson, another good player.
Another good player. But we took Simmons, the offensive tackle. All right. Now, my discussion, my argument, or my thought, and I want to get your guys' thought. And I know Dawson, you was like, hell, let's help this offensive line, let's build it, let's help the quarterback, let's help the running game, let's do all that.
Great Wall of Dallas part three. Here we go.
Okay. The questions I have is, can you guys give me a good legitimate plan for what I'm going to do at left tackle if I draft this kid? You know what I'm saying? Give me a plan. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to take this kid if you guys can't convince me we got a left tackle plan. I know it's plugging him in and playing at left tackle, but what's going to happen with Guyton? What's going to happen at right tackle? What's going to happen at all these tackle spots? Convince me if I'm going to give up an opportunity to draft Jenty, all the offensive line truthers, you know, give me the reason why I need to go away from the best running back and maybe the best player on this board. But if we're taking him at 12 over Jenty, we got him on our stack above Jenty. We've got Simmons above Jenty.
Can he play right guard?
No, he's a tackle.
He's a tackle.
Okay, so we're trying to trade Terrence Steele ASAP. We're going to move Guyton over to right tackle. Give it a shot there. If that doesn't work, we'll draft another right tackle in the spring of 2026.
So we're giving up completely. To you, we're giving up completely on Guyton there, right?
Well, you know, I'll put him out there in camp, and if he is somehow better than the guy we just took at 12, then that'll be my left tackle. I'll go with Steele. But, you know, I'm thinking ideally we put Guyton back where he was more comfortable in college at right tackle and hope that shakes something loose. But we got a good left tackle out of this, and I'm going to tell you, you know, this passing game looked a lot better when Tyron Smith was out there at left tackle, even though he was hobbled and was often injured. When he was gone, Dak Prescott set the record for picks in 13 games. You know, when he was back in 2023, the offense was top five, you know. So I think locking down that blind spot with a player better than Guyton is almost job one right now on offense.
Chief, you got a good reason for me?
Yeah, I think you could. I think you could just, if you get ahead of it, I think you could post June 1, just cut Terrence Steele.
Okay.
And move Guyton over to right tackle.
Okay.
And Simmons is now your left tackle.
Okay.
And you go that way. You just eat the Terrence Steele mistake and start anew.
All right.
That's your post June 1 cut.
We took Simmons. That's our guy at number 12. We didn't take Jenty. We passed on him. We got to the second round.
Y'all made the right move. I mean, even over the wide receivers as well.
We have, all right, now we have another opportunity here in the second round. Still looking at potentially running backs here. Looking at wide receivers as well, but we don't have the selection of the wide receivers. Like, we don't have McMillan, Burden, Abuka, Golden. We don't have any of those guys. We have Williams, wide receiver from TCU. We have Besh from TCU. We have Zach recommended tight end Warren from Penn State was a possibility here. We don't have Banks or any of those guys to for the offensive line. We have Connerly to take. We've already taken a tackle. We're probably out of that market. We've got Caleb Johnson, and we've got Hampton from North Carolina on our board too.
Both running backs.
We've also got safeties that we're talking about here. Watts from Notre Dame in the second round.
Is he free or strong?
He's a strong, but he.
I think he's pretty interchangeable.
I put him at strong, but this kid could tackle. He's around the ball.
He's a rangy guy, man.
He is very, very good. Okay. Can I convince you guys to what position first off? Can I get you interested now in a running back with mentioning that probably got the fifth and sixth best receivers on the board, got potentially – You're not going to have the tight end. I mean, you're going to have potentially like a Mason Taylor or Fanning or one of those guys on the board. You're probably going to have like the sixth or seventh best edge on the board at 44. And you've got the possibility of maybe looking at a defensive tackle here, Harmon from Oregon, and maybe even Ty Williams from Ohio State. What can I interest you in right now?
I'm most interested in continuing to build in the trenches there. If there's a defensive tackle that you like, Harmon,
mm-hmm.
like that sounds like something I would want to do. I want to build my O-line and D-line more than anything.
Okay.
You know, I'm probably thinking running back there because I want a guy who can be a workhorse and a star, and I'm hoping for some home run speed. So I'm leaning running back, but I like what Chief said as well. And, you know, I think safety is a big need. Defensive mm-hmm. line could be a big need, depending on what happens with Osa or other candidates in free agency. And then, yeah, wide receiver, I'm on board for as well. I'd probably, you know, lean just towards the best player at this point. But I'm worried about getting to the third round and now needing a running back and yeah. possibly not getting one, and then looking at the fifth round where it could be Jobber Central, Wolchuk.
This was probably the area where I was looking at it and like, man, if you want to get a runner that I'm not worried about, like I know for sure this is going to be our starter and we're good to go, you probably needed to pull the trigger here on one. And two of the guys there, depending on who you like more, with Caleb Johnson, Iowa, Omarion Hampton, running back out of North Carolina, both are kind of screaming at you like, take me here.
Zach, who'd we take?
Caleb Johnson, the running back out of Iowa, 6'2", 225, second in breakaway yards this year in college football, fourth in yards after contact. Dude to me is a special type of runner. I like him a lot. There's definitely a gap between him and Ashton Jeanty, but I think he's the second best back in the draft.
So the first round we took Josh Simmons, a tackle, Ohio State. In the second round we took Caleb Johnson's running back from Iowa. Okay, we got in the third round now. Chief, I'm going to tell you something. Now we're going to start looking at these defensive tackles here. And the way this board fell for us.
It was juicy.
It was amazing it fell. Now, you're going to hope it falls this way.
We're going to will it.
We're going to will it.
Your guy from Hampton, Harmon from Oregon, was on the board at 76.
Which would be a pizza party for me because I got him as my second favorite defensive tackle. This dude's a big one tech that also can give you some pass rush wiggle. If he somehow fell to the third, my pants would be flying off.
Okay, so this is a guy you're considering in round two.
Yes.
And
we passed on him in round two.
But if he's there in round three, he's a no-brainer.
No-brainer. No question here. Now we have
your Mazi replacement.
Okay, we have the questions here potentially of a wide receiver. Now people have talked about this Tez Johnson from Oregon. There's people. Zach, do you have him as a second round receiver?
From Tez Johnson?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Third round receiver, right?
Yeah.
Okay, myself. I know Vach had him as a second round receiver. The questions are, would you like to take a wide receiver like a 5'10", 165-pound receiver here at 76, or are you looking at taking, with Harmon being on the board, the defensive tackle, the one technique from the one or the three technique from Oregon here?
It's the defensive tackle. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, this team's got to get much better at stopping the run. And, you know, I think they're making pretty good strides at that under Zimmer. So, again, that's why I wanted to keep him. But I don't feel like the wide receiver is going to make your offense great right now. And I feel like you have a major, major hole on your defense. You have to acknowledge the mistake that you made with Mazi and stop throwing more and more effort and coaching resources at, you know, a player. I think you start treating him like a day three pick and, you know, not count on him figuring it out. So I'm going with his replacement.
Zach, give me an idea of who you would take there at that 76 spot.
Well, I mean, I loved Derek Harmon, so I would have been all in on that one. Like that would, I was arguing possibly for him with that second round pick, but I like the defensive tackle options in the third round. I think this thing stretches at defensive tackle mm-hmm. to where that really could be a good spot to go. The other ones to look at would be corner, like there was Parrish out of Kansas
yes.
State,
yep.
who I liked quite a bit. He's at the Senior Bowl right now, but I think we went the way that I wanted to go with it.
Zach, who'd we take?
We went with Derek Harmon.
We went Derek Harmon. So your 3-round mock draft for your Dallas Cowboys that we did this morning on the draft show, and we encourage you to go back and watch it after all our programming today. We took Josh Simmons, Ohio State tackle at 12, with Jeanty on the board, Caleb Johnson, running back, Iowa at 44, Derek Harmon, defensive tackle, Oregon at 76. Those are the three players we took for your Dallas Cowboys.
So you guys crushed it.
We tried.
Well on your way once again to the best draft coverage in the world. It resides right here on your home of the Cowboys. Very fitting. Cowboys do something still the best in the world. And having radio partners that dominate draft coverage is one of them. Eric Galco, Director of Football Ops and Player Personnel for the Shrine Bowl, is going to join us next. We'll continue this conversation on The Fan.